And turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're tuning in live for the first time or visiting with us for the very first time, we're doing a study through this epistle. We're going to be in chapter 12 this morning. And let me read a few verses to you, beginning in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be, what's that next word? Say it again. That's a beautiful word, isn't it? I don't want you to be ignorant. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant, and you don't want to be ignorant. Amen? Very important word this morning. Now, you know that you were Gentiles, Paul tells the church at Corinth, carried away with those dumb idols, however you were led. And therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus anathema, or accursed, or without God, or doomed to destruction, alienated from God. What a horrible, horrible word. So no one by the Spirit calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another working of miracles, and by another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This morning we begin an in-depth series, if you will, on the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we've covered, remember, in beginning in chapter 11, all the way we're going to go through 14, Paul is answering or giving a response to the letter that he received from the Corinthians, addressing the problems that were happening in public worship. Now, we've already covered the head coverings, and we've talked about being drunk at the Lord's Supper. We don't do that. They did that. You know what I'm saying. And all the division and all of that. But there was a major, major issue at the church at Corinth, and that was they were, as today, just like then, they were horribly abusing the gifts of the Spirit, and the reason is because of their ignorance. Now listen carefully. As we begin this great chapter, this new section, it's important to know that there are well-meaning people that I have deep respect for, who actually, maybe pastors, teachers, or even believers themselves, they skip over chapter 12. They love to get into chapter 13, but they skip over chapter 14. And the reason that they do that is because they believe in their hearts that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. They're called cessationists. In other words, they believe that's a doctrine that's been created where they believe that all of the gifts of the Spirit, they have now ceased. When the last apostle died, they all died out as well. Now listen, those who teach that, they are sincere. They love the Lord. Most of them love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their hearts, okay? But you know, when I personally have a very deep problem with that. And that is that, I mean, what gifts have ceased? Because, you know, chapter 12, we're going to look at 9 of the gifts of the Spirit, if you will. But, you know, that's not, chapter 12 is not an exhaustive list of the gifts of the Spirit. You can go into chapter 12, verses 3 through 4 and following. There are the gifts of administration, helps, and exhortations. Have those gifts passed away? Okay, so we know that what gifts are they talking about then? And then we could go into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, when it talks about Jesus who ascended, is the one who also ascended into heaven, giving gifts unto men such as prophets and evangelists and prophets and pastors and teachers. Now, let me ask you a question. Has the pastor teacher, has it passed away? So which gifts are they talking about? You see what I'm getting at. So, you know, we don't have the authority to say, okay, now these gifts are gone and these gifts are not. They're all still available for today. Now, very carefully, listen to me. Those who say that I don't have a problem with them. No difference than the guys who come up to me and say, I don't believe in the rapture of the church. I believe that we're going to go through the great tribulation period, and Bill, you might lose your head. Well, praise the Lord. But when we're going up, I'm going to explain everything to you, okay? So I don't have a problem. You see, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, which are beautiful, they're incredible because they come from God. You know, if a person doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, they believe that they passed away. To me, I still fellowship with that brother or that sister because it's a non-essential of the faith. Now, if they said, I don't believe in the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the blood or the resurrection or the virgin birth and all of those things, or second coming, I go, well, we got a problem. I'm not hanging with you. I'm not even going to eat with you. You understand? I mean, I'll lead them to the Lord because they're not saved, all right? So, but with this, I don't have a problem with them at all. In the non-essentials, like the gifts of the Spirit with other believers, we have liberty, amen? But as far as this church, Paul writes and he says in verse 1, I do not want the Corinthians to be ignorant. I don't want Calvary Chapel to be ignorant at all. And that word just simply means you're misinformed. All the Calvary Chapels around the world, including Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, we all stand together in the same belief, and is this. We believe with all of our hearts in the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and exercise of all the biblical gifts as long as they're done according to the Word of God. Amen? Now, with all that being said, let me give you a definition of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are supernatural gifts, meaning they're not natural. We're not talking about natural gifts. We're talking about gifts that come down from heaven. And they're bestowed by the Holy Spirit for ministry, and they're manifested through the body of Christ for a purpose, to build up the church and to carry out the will of Christ on this planet. Amen? So it's very important that we see that. Paul said, do not be ignorant of spiritual gifts, brethren. Very important. Yet, in the world today, let's just take America. At least or more than 80% of the people in our nation, they do not believe that the gifts, in other words, they're ignorant of the gifts. Matter of fact, they don't even know what the gifts are. They don't even know how they operate. And many, again, they don't even believe that they exist. So there's a lot of ignorance concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I want this morning, as this is an introduction to the gifts of the Spirit, I want you to follow me through some scriptures. So you might want to take notes because we're not going to be going line by line today as we usually do. We're going to be skipping around. So I want you to look at chapter 14 of Corinthians, and I want you to look at verse 12. Paul, again, he's writing there, continuing about the gifts of the Spirit. Even so you, since you are zealous, your own fireman, for the spiritual gifts. Now look what he says. Let all of the gifts, let it be for the what? The edification, the building up of the church that you seek to excel. Now listen, the church at Corinth was so zealous for the gifts of the Spirit. You go back to chapter 1, Paul says, listen, you are enriched in everything, in all utterance, and in all knowledge, and all of the gifts. The gifts were flowing. Here's the problem, though. Yes, they were zealous, but they were zealous for the gifts of the Spirit in the wrong manner. Instead of allowing the beautiful, incredible, wonderful gifts of the Spirit to edify or build up the church, they were literally destroying the church at Corinth with the gifts. They were tearing it apart. See, if the church today or then, if the church is ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit, how then can they be effective in truly building up the church of Christ the way it needs to be? Does that make sense? See, God, the Spirit does all sorts of things. You can't put God in a box. Man, and we need to be such effective witnesses to the Lord. Someone put it this way. It's not so much a matter of having the gift or a gift, but as being a gift. What a word. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 12. Paul starts out, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, and look at this word, brethren. In other words, he says, my dear family. He says, I do not want you to be misinformed. I do not want you to be ignorant. He's going to talk about spiritual gifts. Now, you'll notice in your Bible, the word gifts is in italics. That means it's not there, okay? The translators added it. So when Paul here uses that word, spiritual gifts, again, he's responding to that letter that they wrote to them. That's why he says now concerning spiritual gifts. That word literally is implying that Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, he's saying, listen, you know, you guys are taking certain people that's flowing in the Spirit as the Spirit wills, and you are exalting them, and you're not supposed to be doing that, and you're doing damage to the church. God says, listen, God doesn't want Calvary Chapel or any church, God doesn't want any Christian to be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit. Not only that, God doesn't want you to ever be uncomfortable with the gifts of the Spirit. And he certainly doesn't want you to be fearful of the gifts of the Spirit. And the reason so many people today are is that because of the horrible abuse that they see, and they're so misinformed about the gifts anyway, they don't know, is that true? Is this really happening? I mean, are people, look what's happening in this church and that church. I mean, there's gold dust falling, there's this and that. I mean, and I'm not being critical. I take a little gold dust right now. However, do you understand what I'm getting at? And so they're going, I don't know what to believe. Listen to me. Oh, loved one, listen. The way not to be uncomfortable, the way not to be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit, the way not to be ignorant is to know the Word of God. That's what's wrong today is people, oh, I don't know how to study it out. Well, you need to study it out. That's why this series on the gifts. Now look at verse 2. You know that you were unlearned pagans. That's what really he's saying there. You're Gentiles. You know what you used to be. You're just a bunch of unlearned pagans, and you were carried away with these dumb, and that word means without a voice, okay? In other words, silent. These dumb idols, however you were led. He says, you used to be dumb pagans. You used to be unlearned pagans. You used to be very ignorant, but that was in the past. That's your religious past, but you're not that way now. And because of that ignorance, you were led away. You know, you were led away to serve idols instead of the living God. You know, if you don't know Christ, you'll follow anything. Amen? That's right. And so he says, listen, but you're no longer ignorant about idols. When you look up there at the temple of Aphrodite, sitting all the way up on that mountain and gazing down at the city, and you know that Aphrodite, the goddess of sex, you know that she's nothing. You know that she doesn't have a voice. You know that she doesn't exist. You know that all idols are simply man-made by man. Amen? Psalm 15 verse 4, what does it say? The psalmist says, listen, you know, you have your idols, and look, you put little mouths on them, but they can't speak. You carve in their little ears, but they can't hear. You even put little eyes in there, but you know what? They can't see you. They have mouths, but they cannot speak, hands, but they cannot help you, and they have feet, but they cannot take you anywhere. Paul says, you were led away by those, but not anymore. He says, that word, loved one, listen to me now. It says, you know how you were led? I encourage you to do a study of that word in the Greek, because that's a powerful word. It's a word that literally means you were taken away as a criminal. You were handcuffed, but you were so blind you didn't even see your chains, and you're taken away to be executed. You're like animals lined up in a line that are going to slaughter, and you didn't even know it. That's what Paul was saying. And then in verse 3, watch this now. Therefore, meaning based on verse 1 and verse 2, therefore, I make known to you, the reason, because he didn't want you to be ignorant. I make known to you that no one in the whole world, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus anathema or accursed or without hope or alienated from God or doomed to destruction. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine someone in this congregation standing up and saying, Jesus is anathema. Jesus is doomed to destruction. Jesus is without hope and alienated from God. Can you, you know what? You would receive the right hand of fellowship. I said that in love. No, no one. Paul says, are you crazy? What are you doing in your meetings? You guys are tearing each other apart. Why would you allow anyone to stand in your congregation and say that about the Lord God who saved you and died on the cross for you and is coming again for you? Amen? So Paul, boy, he's saying, how can you do that? And they're doing it, loved one. Now listen, in public worship. That's what we're talking about. So keep it in context. So Paul says, no one speaking about the Spirit of God can say that Jesus is accursed. And you might say, well, Bill, that the reason they were doing that is because, you know, of Gnosticism. Well, Gnosticism was barely started back then, okay? And their little clique, in other words, for you to be a part of their clique, after they really got started, after Corinthians, actually, they would make their members, if they wanted to come into the group, the first thing they had to say is, they had to stand before them and say, Jesus is accursed. So we know that they weren't believers. We know that they didn't trust in the Lord at all. You know, anytime you hear anyone slandering Christ, it's antichrist. It's those that hate the Lord. What did John tell us? Remember the Apostle John over in 1 John 2:22? He says this, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, meaning that Jesus, who denies that he was fully God, that he was fully man, that he was the perfect God-man without sin. 100% man, 100% God. He says, whoever denies that he is antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Man, what a statement, John. Who is a liar? Anyone in this world. I don't care if they stand some politician. I don't care if they stand in some seminary or some college or on the street corner or maybe in a pulpit. You deny Jesus Christ's deity, you are antichrist. It's just that clear. Now, with all that being said, those that were calling Jesus anathema, accursed, look over to the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians and drop down to verse 22. Paul says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be what? Wow, anathema, the same word. Let him be doomed to destruction without hope. Let that person be alienated from God. Of course, anyone who doesn't know Christ is alienated from God. And he says, look, and he goes, oh, Lord, come. In other words, Maranatha, praise God, I'm ready. Come on, Lord, we can go home anytime, you know, whenever our work is done. So listen, what is Paul saying in that verse? Don't be misinformed and don't be ignorant. Jesus is man's only hope. He is mankind's only hope. Now, he says, no one can say Jesus Christ, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying, yes, of course, those who are sincere in their heart, Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from dead, you'll be saved, yes. But what he's actually saying and implying is we would have to go back in history to their time. See, to say that Jesus is Lord could mean you're going to die. You follow me? In other words, that was the government could kill you back then. So there was a lot more to it than just that. But we know that whenever we really and truly with a genuine heart, Jesus be the Lord of my life, he saves us. Amen? Now, but why such ignorance as we begin, you know, this series on the gifts of the Spirit? Why was there such ignorance at Corinth, the church at Corinth? Well, the number one reason is they were carnal. Remember chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians? Carnal means fleshly. They were led by the flesh, not after the Spirit. Paul says, you are carnal, living as mere men. That word mere men means you're living like a lost person instead of a saved person. You're carnal, you're babes. What in the world is wrong with you? So what were they doing? The same thing, loved one. It hasn't changed. The same thing today. They were elevating these incredible gifts of the Spirit above the giver of the gifts. Same thing that happens today. Not only that, those that were in the church, man, they are in ministries, and man, God was using them. You know, even though they were babes in Christ, this church was only 4 years old. And so, man, they were moving and grooving and all the rest of it. And people were going, ooh, look, this guy, he just laid hands on the old, crummy and dummy down the street. And, man, they're all healed. And they start giving that person who God was using, and they give him a superior status. You follow me? Same thing today. Listen, there's no different than then and thou. You know, did you, thou? Whew, the King James Spirit. Woo, that must have been the Holy Spirit. Thou, listen carefully. No. In other words, they wanted them back then to, not don't teach me about God, really, but I want you to be God for me. You understand? I don't want to search the Bible myself, man. You be God. You tell me. I need a word. You know, in other words, it's the same today. Man, I need a word of God. You've heard that. So if you need a word, I need a word from God. So what do you got? I run to the man of God instead of God. Listen, do you need a word from God? Here's what I tell people. Go to the Word. There you go. You got 66 books. Find out something, okay? I had a person call me last year, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Bill, Pastor Bill, I got to talk to you. I said, what? What is it? I need a word from God. I said, go back to bed. Yeah. Now, we don't, forgive me, we don't want to be ignorant, misinformed about the spiritual gifts. See, listen, today, just like then, they were glorifying man instead of glorifying God. Oh, loved one, listen, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. I'm with this person. This is my hero. Look, they're the gifted one. Oh, that's what they were doing. In other words, in 1 Corinthians 3:21, Paul told him, he said, listen, therefore let no one boast in men. That was the reason for the division in the church. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:31, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And we could say, and only in the Lord. Amen? So we have to clear that up. See, don't be ignorant today. Don't be afraid today about the spiritual gifts. Learn and understand them. Listen, the true gifts of the Spirit, when they are manifested in the body of Christ in a scriptural and correct way, like the Bible teaches, now listen, it will always focus people's hearts on Jesus. Always. It will always do that. It'll make you to fall in love with Jesus more. It'll help you to say, oh, I just want Jesus. You worship him. It's not that person. No, listen, don't be ignorant. The number one way to tell if any of the gifts of the Spirit, if they are indeed a true manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is to ask yourself this question. Who does it draw attention to? Man or the Lord? That's a very important question. Loved one, listen, a true manifestation of the Holy Spirit will always exalt Jesus Christ. Not a man, not a man's ministry, not a woman, and not a woman's ministry. Are you listening to me? You say, well, Bill, how do you know that? Because Jesus told us. In John 16:14, he said, the Holy Spirit, this is what he will do. He will glorify Bill. He will glorify this ministry. Jesus said, he will glorify me. Loved one, listen, that's so important. And a spirit-filled person, a spirit-filled person is one that exalts Jesus Christ. And if he is a pastor or a believer, he will always point others to Jesus Christ, never to a man, never to a person. Are you listening to me? That is so, loved ones, so important. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, can they be earned? No. Can they be learned? Well, you can learn about them, but you can't learn it. It's a supernatural gift from heaven. No, loved one, no, not at all. Are they deserved? No. No, not at all. Look at verse 11 in chapter 12. Look at it. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, meaning all those gifts that I just read about and we're going to be covering in detail in the coming weeks. He says it works all these things, and look what he does. He distributing to each one individually as what? As he wills. Listen, spiritual gifts, all the spiritual gifts, they are given by the Holy Spirit, and they are given only as the Holy Spirit wills. And let me say something else. They are only manifested in the church as he wills, not as man wills. That is so vital that we understand that. If not, we're going to have chaos. When we get over to chapter 14, we'll find out, wait a minute, God has not called us to confusion. Let everything be done decently and in order. Well, it can't be done decently and in order unless it's done God's way. You say, well, Bill, you're kind of intense, aren't you? You know why? Because I love the Holy Spirit. I love the gifts of the Spirit. And I have seen such wicked, horrible, demonic abuse of the Spirit. And I've also seen it on the other side, where churches criticize and beat up and put down those who operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Like this one barn that I passed, one in California, and it says, those people that speak in tongues are of the devil and are going to hell. I went, whoa, I'm not going to that church. Why would a church say something like that? To say the gift of the Holy Spirit and equate it with the devil? Are you listening to me? Oh, loved one, no, not at all. Listen, the Holy Spirit decides the gift that he wants to manifest through any believer, and when he wants to manifest it, he decides what gift you need and when you need it, and it's not for you. It's for the church. Do you understand? Listen to me, loved one, don't be ignorant. Men, man, woman, seminaries, pastors, prophets, they cannot, even though you've heard it, they cannot impart to you the gifts of God. Well, they can, how about that anointing? No, 1 John 2:20, you already have the anointing. There's not a new one. That's the only one you're ever going to get. Do you understand? Oh, this, I can tell you don't like, some of you don't like it. Is that rubbing you good? Oh, I feel better now, don't you? Well, now, the Bible says in 1 John 4:10, it says, as each one, every one of you, each one has received a gift. You've received it. That means you can't earn it or learn it. It's supernatural. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every believer has been given a gift. If you don't have a gift, you are not a believer. Romans 8:9, and you're not a believer if you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. Very important. Now, he says, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts, brethren. I want you to notice something. I pray your Bibles are open. You see chapter 12, and then you see chapter 14. And right in between chapter 12 and 14, what is that chapter? 13. You guys are the smartest church. Okay? Now, would you think, why would the Holy Spirit, here we are, we're going through the gifts of the Spirit, and then all of a sudden we get into the love thing? But then chapter 14, we get back into the gifts, tongues, interpretations of tongues, prophecy, and so forth. What in the world why did he do that? Well, he did that because of a reason. Why? Well, chapter 13 teaches us. See, here 12's the gift, 14's the gift, and 13 is love. Without love, the gifts of the Spirit are absolutely worthless. When we get over to the 16th chapter of Corinthians, the 14th verse, it says, let all that you do be done in or with love. Now listen carefully. The church at Corinth, they possessed, man, the gifts were flowing, okay? But here's the problem. They were without spiritual fruit. Love is always the true energy behind the gifts of the Spirit. Are you at chapter 13? Look at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, when we start teaching 13, that where it says clanging cymbal and gong and all the rest of it, man, listen, those Corinthians, when they heard that, they knew exactly what Paul was talking about because that was up there at the temple of Aphrodite. In other words, they were going, wow, you mean Paul, even though Paul says, yeah, I speak in tongues. It's a wonderful gift, tongues of men and of angels. But he said, you know what? If you don't have the agape of God, if you don't have love, you know what? You're just, everything that you're doing, I don't care about, the gifts are just absolutely worthless. Listen, let me tell you why. How many people, I say this tenderly without any judgment, I love people, loved one. I know so many Christians, they say they speak in other tongues, okay? Wonderful. And or maybe they've even prayed for people and God touched them. Praise the Lord. But they're the meanest people I have ever been around in my life. Why? They're not having any love. Do you understand? They're just mean. They're not happy people. I don't know what's wrong with them. See, listen, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy, okay, man, I'm going to prophesy to you. And though I understand all the mysteries, I know every secret of God, why the devil is here. I know what 666 means. I know about the rapture of the church. I know the secrets of the universe. And if I have all knowledge, I have perfect understanding about everything. But even if I have all faith, that's that wonder-working faith where it says where you could remove mountains. But if I don't have love, Paul says, I'm what? Why don't you look that word up in the Greek? Nothing. You know what nothing is? Nothing. You're nothing. I didn't say it. God did. He said, you're nothing. Look it up. You're a useless nobody. Yeah, but I laid. Yeah, you did. But you're nothing. Yeah, but I'm speaking to, you're nothing. But I'm you're nothing. Nothing. Unless you have the love of God in your life. Do you understand me? We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit so we will not be ignorant, brethren. Oh, this is so vital. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, if I don't have love, it profits me absolutely nothing. Why? Love is the basis of the operation of all of the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, it says, and this hope doesn't disappoint, for the love of God, the agape of God, only comes from heaven, okay? The love of God has been poured out, lavished upon into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Now listen carefully. Love is the highest evidence. It is the divine proof, the love of God in a believer, that you are saved. You say, well, no, wait a minute, Bill. I've got that baptism upper room experience. I did it too, you know. Well, that's wonderful. But you see, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, oh, praise the Lord. Speaking in other tongues like they did on the day of Pentecost, praise the Lord. Those are wonderful things. But that is an evidence that you're filled with the Spirit. It is not the evidence of being Spirit-filled or saved. Are you listening to me? That's so vital that you see that. You, loved one, listen. You know, the Bible tells us in, let me just read 1 John to you. It says in 1 John 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God, born again, and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, doesn't have a relationship with God. For God is love. You see, love is the motor behind all of the gifts. Jesus, in John 13, in the upper room, he washed the disciples' feet, leaving them an example as he did, so were they to do as well. And then he gave them the new commandment. He gave it to us as well. That's one of the vision scriptures of the vision statement of this church. Jesus said to them, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love, agape, that love from heaven, love one another, and here's the new part, just as I've loved you. To the same degree, he says, and by this all will know. All will know. Everyone will know. All will know that you are my learners, my students, my disciples. He didn't say, by speaking in other tongues, all will know who you are. He didn't say, oh, when they see you laying hands on the sick, they'll know that you belong to me. No, loved one. Those are wonderful things to do, but let's get it right. Let's not be ignorant about what God's word is saying. Amen? That is so vital that we need to understand that. Now, if you'll look in chapter 13 again, you know, there are those that teach that the gifts have passed away, and they start right here in 13, verse 8. Love never fails. Now, that's our foundational statement of this church, isn't it? He says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will what? Oh, they're going to vanish, fail. Whether there are tongues, they will no more tongues. Whether there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, people would say, I put away the gifts of the Spirit, for now we see in a mirror dimly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know just as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, and these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now listen carefully. They use that to say, see, tongues have ceased. Prophecies are no more. He says, now we're just to love one another. You know, loved one, listen to me. To know your text, always read your context, okay? Very important. Chapter 14. Do you see that number 14? Did the Holy Spirit put that in there? No. The Holy Spirit didn't put in chapter divisions. He didn't say, okay, it's going to be chapter 14. It's going to be chapter 15. That man put that in. Study out your history. So let's read it the right way, because when they say that which is perfect has come, they're saying, see, the Bible has completed. Now we have the full canon. We don't need those things. Well, let me ask you a question. Yes, okay, tongues have vanished away. What prophecies are now gone? Knowledge shall vanish? Is knowledge gone? No, not at all. When we see him face to face, when he was perfect, who is that? It's Jesus. Now, look what Paul goes on to say. He cannot be talking that the gifts have passed away. Look at verse 14 with me, or chapter 14, verse 1, a continuation of the same text. Pursue what? Make love the quest of your life. Now, that's not emotional love or eros or sensual love. Or, you know, that is the agape of God, loving one another. He says, pursue love, and here it comes, desire. That word means zealous, burn in your hearts. He says, for what? Spiritual gifts, but especially that ye may prophesy. Now, when we get over to chapter 14, we're going to understand that all Christians can prophesy as the Spirit leads. And the purpose of that is to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. I give you some homework. Go through chapter 14 and look up the word edification and edify and find out what it means and who it's building up. It's to build up the church, okay? Now, listen. When I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, we're to keep on pursuing love, the gifts didn't vanish. Paul says, man, go after them. Thank you for being zealous for them. I don't know how in the world anyone could say the gifts are passed away. Now, here's what I want you to do. Go back to chapter 12. Look at verse 28 with me. Now, watch this. And God has appointed, not man, but God. God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Gift of healings, plural, by the way. Helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Now, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have the gift of healings, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best or the greater gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Well, we already know a more excellent way is love. That's what chapter 13 is about, okay? Now listen very carefully. This is so important. You know, concerning the gifts of the Spirit, does every Christian have every gift of the Spirit? No. Are all Christians prophets? No. Do all prophesy? No. Do all speak in other tongues? No. Are all miracle workers? No, not at all. But listen to me now. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. But all Christians, they may not have operate in all the gifts, maybe a few of them, whenever God wants. But every Christian is to have all the fruits of the Spirit. Do you understand how vital that is when it comes to the operation of the gifts of the Spirit? So we're not ignorant. So they're operated. So we do what God, we know what God wants. It's not a secret. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the agape of God in our heart. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which there is no law. Now listen carefully. Whatever you do, please don't confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit shows or demonstrates a believer's maturity. Amen? The gifts of the Spirit demonstrate or show us perhaps that person's ministry. I am a pastor teacher. I didn't earn it. I didn't learn it. It is a gift from God. Jesus gave gifts unto men. Amen? Ephesians 4:11. Now, with all that being said, a one-day-old Christian, just a baby Christian, you know what I mean? He doesn't know anything hardly about. Can he be baptized in the Spirit and speak in other tongues? Yes. Can a one-day-old baby Christian just, you know, pray for someone, say, well, you're sick, and just pray, and God use them and heal some, and they're healed? Yes. Oh, love them. But listen, but gifts, they do not show a person's maturity. They don't even show the depth of a person's character. Are you listening to me? Oh, I tell you, loved one, this is so important. Why is it that the gifts of the Spirit today as then receive far greater attention in our culture than the fruit of the Spirit? Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them, not by their gifts, by their fruit. Listen to me. So much emphasis is placed on the gifts of the Spirit today and then, and so little emphasis is placed upon the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are abused today, just like then. Did you know that the gifts of the Spirit, you know, man, I pray, the Lord use me. They're not a badge of honor. If you go back and study Balaam, I think there was a donkey that God used. Spoke right through. It's not a badge of honor. It should make us fall on our faces that God even wants to use us. I say, oh God, you're so good. It's so sad that the gifts today, look at this person. Whoa, look what they're doing. And you know, but the gifts don't mean that a person is saved. The devil's going to be coming, the Antichrist. What is he going to be coming with? All lies, lying signs and wonders. Those that perish are those that believe a lie. Listen, no. You have to be wise. You have to know what in the world is going on. See, just because a person flows in the gifts of the Spirit, number one, they shouldn't be elevated, and number two, they shouldn't be idolized, and number three, you don't even know if they're born again or not. You say, well, Bill, I don't understand. Go back to Matthew chapter 7, and let's look at Jesus here, and watch this. Matthew chapter 7. Just turn with me. I want to show you something. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, as I turn there with you. Now, Jesus is talking about the narrow way and the broad way and all of that. He's talking about that you will know these people by their fruits. He's talking about false prophets and all the rest of them, you know, that come to you in sheep's clothing, you know, trying to rip you off or whatever. And then he starts telling us something. He's talking to those that know him. Now, watch this in verse 21 of Matthew 7. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now listen, the group that was standing in front of Jesus, they knew who Jesus was, okay? They with all of their heart, they truly believed themselves saved, without a doubt, yet they were not saved, and they claimed Jesus Christ as their own. Lord, Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord. Jesus said, no, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus saying here? Listen, he's saying this. If you claim, if they claim, the people we're talking about in that text, Jesus, Lord, you're Lord, Lord, you're my Lord. Loved one, that is only the beginning. That's not it. There's more after Lord, Lord. Amen? You know, when Jesus is your Lord, that's just the beginning. That's why Jesus said, he said, those who say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No, they won't. He says, but not everyone, but those who, what? Who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, it's not about Jesus is my Lord, yes, but that's, again, just the beginning. What did James tell us in James 1:22? Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving. You're deceiving yourselves. If you can hear God's word and God's word doesn't have an effect upon you, maybe you're not saved. You see what I'm getting at? Boy, this is very important. Very important, the gifts of the Spirit, loved one. I look here and I say, oh, Lord. And Jesus said in verse 22, he says, he uses the word many, meaning those many throughout all the ages. He says, many will say to me in that day, meaning the day of judgment when Christ is in the great white throne or at the bema seat of Christ, okay? He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, ooh, here comes the gifts of the Spirit. Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders, meaning signs and wonders and miracles in your name? Now listen carefully. You study this out and you're going to find that Jesus, our Lord, the people that he's looking at, and this applies to us today, he in no way condemned them for preaching in his name. He didn't condemn them for the signs and the wonders. He didn't condemn them for casting out demons. He didn't do any of that. But he did condemn them for what they did, what they practiced. Look at verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. That's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Jesus will look into the eyes of those people who cast out demons and did all these gifts and all the rest of it. Pardon me, loved one. And Jesus will say, I never had for 1 minute an intimate relationship with you ever in your entire life. Yeah, but Lord, Lord, I didn't know you. But Lord, I prayed that I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Oh, I know who you are, but you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep at all. And then the saddest words spoken in God's word, depart from me. Depart from me, you who, look at it, what's that word? Practice. Lawlessness. That word lawlessness, 1 John 3:5, sin is lawlessness. So what is Jesus saying here? He is saying, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, meaning a continuous, ongoing, habitual, rebellion practice of sin while professing Jesus Christ as Lord. He says, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I ask you to do? Loved one, listen to me. We are living in times that are darker than you can imagine. We need to open our eyes, and we do not need to be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the workings of God. We do not need to be ignorant about our own lives either. You see, these people here were deceived. I mean, can you imagine Jesus calling Jesus Lord, Lord, but not even being saved? Why? Well, you know, there are a lot of people that know about Jesus, but they do not know Jesus. Do you understand? You see, loved one, listen,
today and then, a person can experience, loved one, the very presence of God in their midst. They can experience the power of God, the touch of God, but never, ever receive the person of God, which is Jesus Christ. That is a tragedy. The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he who has a son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I tell you what, if Jesus is your Lord, you know it. You go over there after the service, there's a little outlet that's called an electrical outlet. Just take it off and stick your finger in there. No, don't really do that. But if you did, would you feel something? You better believe it. You would be, you know what I'm saying? Yes, you'd be touched. Yeah. Okay, well, listen. When you are in Christ Jesus, you are changed. Old things passed away. Everything becomes new. You're changed from glory to glory to glory. See, Jesus produces fruit in your life because you're abiding in the vine and you're the branches. You can't help from produce fruit in your life when you're connected to pure love, pure power, pure goodness. Amen? See, that's what it's all about. They claimed intimacy with Jesus in this verse. The gifts of the Spirit, yes, they were being manifested, but here's the problem. They did not have the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. The gifts of the Spirit are incredible. To have God work through you to where He is exalted. Loved one, listen. The gifts of the Spirit way back then and the gifts of the Spirit today, they are not an indicator that that person is a saved person. Nor are the gifts of the Spirit an indicator that God approves of that ministry. Do you understand? It's so important that we understand it because today that is what people are teaching, and that is not true. John the Baptist, Jesus said there was none greater than John. The Bible says in John 1:6, there was a man called John sent from God. In John 10:41, it says, and John did no miracle, no sign, none of those things, not no gifting, nothing went out of him. He was only a voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight the paths of the Lord. He was the forerunner of Christ. Judas Iscariot, who sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, whom the devil in the upper room entered into his own heart, and Judas went out into the night, traveled with Jesus for three and a half years, and you know what? Did he cast out devils? Did he heal the sick? Yes. But was he saved? No. No, he wasn't. Wake up. Know the Word of God. I'm very serious, loved one, about the gifts. They should be so knowledgeable of what God is saying in His Word about that, because that's where the abuse lies today. Father, we praise you and thank you for this moment, this word, your truth that you've exalted above your name. And Father, as I reach out with the gifting that you've given me to the people that are present, to those that are listening live right now, I reach out to those that maybe they've experienced the presence of God, the power of God. But they don't have the person of God, Jesus, living in their heart. They have Bibles and they come to church and but they never read their Bibles. There's no fruit in their life. There's just emptiness. They think themselves saved, but it's only religion because they said, Lord, Lord. But they never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life. They never asked Christ to live in their heart. as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if that is you, loved one, I love you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Don't be ignorant and pass up this moment. If that's you, you say, come to Jesus. Come to him right now. You say, Bill, how? Just lift your hand. Don't come down here. Just lift your hand straight up and say, Bill, pray for me. I want to be a believer. Join those. God bless you. That's right. Join those in the first service who came to Christ. Who else? Say, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Hand up high and then put it right back down so I can see. That's all I'm asking you. God bless you. I see your hand. One more time. Anyone else before we pray? Oh, please don't hesitate. I beg you in Jesus' name. If that's you, don't fight. Just give it to God and say, that's me. And then put your hand up and put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. Those that lifted your hands, listen carefully. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me out. Father, I want you to save me. I don't want to say just Lord, Lord. I want Jesus to be my Lord. So right this minute, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. Father, you promised if I would confess Christ as my Lord and truly believe in my heart, you would save me. Save me now, for I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. I praise you with all my heart. I indeed give you thanks, for you're the great God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You are Lord, Jesus, you are Lord. In this church, we exalt you. We do not exalt man, and we do not exalt man's ministry. We exalt Jesus Christ to the one whose every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Oh God, we humble ourselves. Use your sheep. Let us not be ignorant, Lord, of the wonderful, incredible gifts of the Holy Spirit. We love you and give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? You that lifted your hands, listen very carefully. We're going to close with a song. Please come down here. They have a booklet they want to give you entitled